Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, and we're broadcasting to you from Southern California, Los Angeles. I want to talk about a number of things that are happening in the United States of America and the world. And once again, the critical difference between how we process this information, how we analyze the information, is this. We do it from a biblical worldview. And that simply means we look at reality through the lens of a biblical worldview. And a biblical worldview provides you with a lens that is in focus, that is clear, so that you can see accurately and perceive accurately. If you're looking at your reality like most people do, and most Christians do, tragically, if you're looking at your reality from a humanist worldview, then you're looking at reality with a built-in distortion factor. Because a humanist worldview is erroneous from the beginning. Man did not evolve randomly over hundreds of millions of years. That's a complete fraudulent statement. And so when you try to look at every aspect of your reality, including your own life, from a secular humanist worldview, it is a blurry, distorted lens that you're looking through. And it will only lead to falsehoods, lies, deceptions, and most of all, incorrect feedback, incorrect information. You know, I can't tell you how many times I'll see some television show, some TV special. It could be National Geographic. I remember taking my kids to the giant aquarium in Long Beach, California. And then I remember decades ago taking them to a big aquarium in Maui, the island. And I remember that every time I took our young kids to these things, or to the zoo, by the way, it was obvious that the aquarium, the zoo, stuff like that, all of that stuff was designed to indoctrinate the children with the theory of evolution and a humanist worldview. And so they built this. They said in the Maui Aquarium that they built a replica of a dinosaur that looked like a dog. And I made a joke about it, calling it a dinosaur dog, and my kids were laughing and stuff. But the way that the aquarium presented it, showcased it, as if it was irrefutably true. But it wasn't. It was just a speculation in somebody's head. So the whole issue here is that if we can't find truth, truth matters. Jesus said, you know, you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you don't know the truth, you're going to be put into slavery, captivity, and bondage. It's no small thing. Truth matters. Now, this is oblivious to the majority of evangelical Christians in America today and around the world, because they have drank the Kool-Aid decades and decades and decades ago. And what happens when you drink the Kool-Aid, you end up dying as part of some cult member, because the Kool-Aid is a sugary, sweet drink. But the twisted joke of don't drink the Kool-Aid goes back to when a cult, the Jim Jones cult in Africa, committed mass suicide because they all listened to this false Messiah's crazy teaching, and he induced them, he coerced them to drink the Kool-Aid, and then all these people, hundreds and hundreds, I think it was thousands of people who died because the Kool-Aid was laced with drugs to make you pass out, and the Kool-Aid was laced with very powerful poisons that would kill you. So, admittedly a sick joke, don't drink the Kool-Aid, but it was meant as a warning, because we still have people who have joined cults. And I'm not talking about some esoteric, mystical cult, you know, where the guy has 15 Rolls Royces. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, the cult of secular humanism, where you believe in the teachings of secular humanism, but it's really just a religious dogma to you. So evangelical Christians are no longer looking at reality the way they should be. Evangelical Christians should be looking at reality in an accurate fashion, which means they should be looking at reality through the lens of a biblical worldview. They should not be looking at reality through the distorted lens of a humanist worldview, because that produced death, destruction, and ultimately the annihilation of man and nations like the United States. It's a very, very serious thing. So, in a moment, we're going to pick up on this, because there's several things that are being debated, let's call it, in the mass consciousness, that impact your life. In fact, they impact your life to such a radical degree that they have to be considered life and death issues. And if you don't understand what you believe and why you believe, if you are just drinking the Kool-Aid rather than getting knowledge and getting the facts, you will perish. You will die. And that's not what God has in mind for his people. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We have so many free resources for you to build your knowledge up in God's Word and empower you to analyze what's happening through the lens of God's Word. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. The information or knowledge or truth that we're presenting to you on today's program is essential for your survival. The Bible teaches us that from Genesis to Revelation, how important it is to gain knowledge and wisdom and guidance directly or indirectly from God's Word. Now, over the last year or so, the USA, as well as the majority of nations on planet Earth, have been intensely impacted by a global pandemic. And this pandemic in the United States emerged immediately in the same time period as the outcome of the presidential elections. We have to remember, this is something that Christians have a mental block about, but they shouldn't have a mental block about it, because this is a theme that the Bible teaches a great deal on. And that is, the Bible teaches us the factual reality, the biblical worldview, that all of mankind, especially Christians, but all of mankind is currently in a life and death struggle. And it's a struggle and warfare it's an all-out warfare between good versus evil, between God versus Satan, between God's angels versus Satan's fallen angels, between the men and women who are serving God versus the men and women who have chosen to serve Satan or Lucifer. So that is what is really going on behind the scenes in what is called the invisible realm. Quantum physics itself has taught us there's at least 11 to 12 dimensions. For hundreds of years, science only acknowledged the existence of things that it would call real if they could be perceived by your senses, your eyes, your touch, your taste, your hearing, so on and so forth. But then science had to expand its definition of what is real in light of discoveries in the area of string theory and quantum physics, which proved that there were an entire array of multi-dimensional realities that were very real, but you couldn't perceive them with your senses. So that brings us to this massive struggle between good and evil. Secular humanists would say, that's mythological. There's no such thing as this great battle between good and evil. Let me see these demons and say, show me proof of this battle you're talking about. And the problem with that is that in their pride and their bias and their arrogance, they dismiss the truthfulness of this enormous spiritual battle that the Bible talks in depth about, beginning in Genesis with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and Lucifer indwelling a upright reptilian being, the serpent of old. And so this spiritual war between God and Satan erupts, and it has been carried on ever since then. So when the Apostle Paul teaches us in Ephesians 6, for our fight is not against flesh and blood or people, but against the principalities and powers, against the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So you and I are locked in a life and death struggle between good and evil. And this battle is raging all over planet Earth right now. So the Bible even tells us who the principal players are, such as God, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, the angels of God, Lucifer, the fallen angels. God depicts all of these beings in his word. So we should not be rejecting God's word or ignoring God's word. We should be looking at reality through the lens of God's word, because eventually, according to the Bible, this war accelerates. The signs of the times begin to explode, which is happening now. And then Jesus Christ returns to planet Earth, and he goes to the Battle of Armageddon, and he defeats Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, all of those who have received the mark of the beast. So a Christian should not be biased against the truth in God's word. A Christian should believe God's word. A Christian should believe there is a life and death struggle between good and evil, because that's what the Bible says. And if one were to remove their non-biblical bias about reality, one would have to accept the fact that there is a raging spiritual battle on planet Earth, and that part of this battle includes the reality that there are approximately 12 wealthy, super wealthy, super trillionaire families that control planet Earth. So we have just 12 international banking families in the Illuminati, or whatever you call them, that essentially control everything that's happening on planet Earth. and they have a game plan. And if you bother to take the time to study and do research on these 12 international powerful banking families, as I have, if you bother to do research, you will discover that it is very possible that all of these 12 international banking families, along with key family members in these families, are practicing Satanists or Luciferians. They're united by a common DNA. They have a common genetic lineage. Their families marry through what are called Illuminati bloodline families. And they believe that they are gods. They believe that they are superior, genetically superior, to the rest of the humans on planet Earth. And they believe, because they have all the wealth and because they have all the power, that they can do anything they want to do, because might makes right. And so that's the very crux of the matter. So we have all these things happening, and it would be very, very naive to look at what we could call chaos events or crisis events. It would be very, very naive to look at the chaos events and the crisis events happening all around us and to say that they're just random chance. They're just accidental. They are not accidental. They are not random chance. They are pre-planned. It is a part of their satanic planning doctrine. And that is, they utilize a satanic occultic principle called order out of chaos, or new world order out of chaos, or global reset out of chaos. So they use chaos as a driving mechanism to bring about their global reset or their new world order. Because you see, those institutions are institutions they created for their own benefit, power, and wealth, and it will enable them, these 12 families, to rule planet Earth. And that means making captives or slaves out of all the rest of the people on planet Earth. It's a very devious control mechanism. But you can't just hide from it. You have to understand it. That's why I wrote my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And why I wrote Conquering the Matrix and other books that you can get book bundle discounts on right now at PaulMcGuire.us. Because unless you understand this primary mechanism, unless you understand the reality of this greatest battle that we're in, unless you understand the reality of it, then you're not going to know what's happening and why it's happening. You're going to be deaf, dumb, and blind. You're going to be oblivious. And if you're walking around in a state of oblivion, you're going to be made a slave or a captive. Another term for the people who rule planet Earth, they are also called, I have called them in my books, the Luciferian elite and the globalist elite. Because they control entire nations. They control the global system, the world system. And they have their own belief system, which originates out of Satanism, by the way. And one of the cardinal tenets of their belief system is Malthusian philosophy, which, as we've discussed before, was created by a philosopher named Malthus, who said all of mankind's problems can be attributed to excessive population growth. And the only way we can solve all of mankind's problems is to radically reduce the Earth's population. We need to chop it down by like 4 billion people as fast as we can. And the Georgia Guidestones, which is like a New Age monument, has that written in stone, the need to vastly reduce the population of planet Earth. And so many of the people in these super wealthy globalist elite families are ardent Malthusians. They believe it's a religion with them to radically reduce the Earth's population by drought, food shortages, disease epidemics, and things of that nature. So, at the same time where the political turmoil was happening in the U.S. and the controversy over the election had the outbreak of the pandemic, and every one of us has been impacted by that, or potentially impacted by that to a variety of degrees. But that's where you can't rely on, if you're looking to look at everything through a biblical worldview, you can't rely on mythologies and fairy tales. You need to know the truth when it comes to like genetics, the truth when it comes to biological issues. And before you make any decision that could impact your life, your mind, or your physical well-being, you need to know the facts. You need to do some research. And you're not going to get facts from the globalist elite-owned mainstream media and other globalist elite sources of information. So, for example, one of the things that makes us human that God talks about in the book of Genesis is the fact that God tells mankind, Adam and Eve, at the very beginning, one of his primary mandates is to be fruitful and multiply. Not just biologically through sexual reproduction, although that's its primary meaning, but also in whatever endeavors you're involved in, whether it's economics or whatever, you're to be fruitful and multiply in that area. And one of the reasons for that is we are made in the image of God. We're not a product of accidental evolution. So in the book of Genesis, especially the first chapter, we see God teaching us the laws of his creation. And one of the things that we see about God and his creation is whenever he creates something like light, he'll say, then God said, let there be light. And then you'll notice it will say, and God saw the light, that it was good. So everything God created in its original form as God created it is good. And then we see another law of his creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So what we see here is God's law of creation, where God, everything that God creates has a built-in code in it, a genetic code, a DNA code, everything that God creates. And so when something, whether it's seed or herbs or human beings or animals or whatever, they're supposed to reproduce according to the code, according to its kind. That's a law of God's creative cycle, that things reproduce according to its kind, according to its code, according to its DNA. And then God warns about what happens to his creation when his creation allows itself to be degraded in the area of its code. So, for example, in the book of Genesis, we read about the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, which many Bible scholars believe refers to fallen angels. And it's fine with God that men and women get married and reproduce, but when human women are having physical relations with fallen angels, then they're reproducing not according to its kind. They're breaking God's law. They're violating God's law of DNA and genetics. And what is produced is a non-human entity called a Rephaim or a Nephilim, which is a combination of human female DNA and fallen angel DNA. Therefore, because it's corrupted, it's no longer truly human. And because it's no longer truly human, God cannot save the souls of non-humans. So one of Satan's attacks on mankind is to impact the human race and corrupt the genetic code. And so when fallen angels who have their own DNA mate with human females and create a hybrid creation called the Rephaim or Nephilim, that's a mixture of human DNA with fallen angel DNA, and therefore it's no longer human, and therefore it can't be saved. And that is a satanic war by Satan against God and against mankind, because when the genetic line is polluted like that, then what you're producing in reproduction, you're not reproducing humans. And it's only human beings that can be saved, that can put their faith in Christ, that can be born again, and that will enter into the kingdom of God. It's only human beings. Human beings are the highest being in God's chain of creation. And this is the opposite of what humanism teaches. So, for example, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, get the whole thing here. In Genesis chapter 1, it says these words, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So, we see that man, male and female, Adam and Eve, were created in the image of God. And God says, let us make man. God is referring to himself, which is the triune God, the God of the Trinity. That's why the plural word us is used. Let us make man in our own image. What us is he talking about? He's talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so it's only man that has the DNA of God in him. Now, admittedly, that DNA is corrupted due to the fall of man when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. But when the fallen angels mated with human women and produced the hybrid race of the Rephaim and Nephilim, the fallen angel DNA corrupted and made non-human the Rephaim and Nephilim are non-human. They can't be saved. So what God is warning about is engaging in activities and decisions or technologies or whatever in which there's a potential that human DNA could be distorted and become non-human DNA. That's why we need to take very seriously things like, you know, if I allow this substance to be injected in me, will this substance change my DNA, my coding? Because that's very important. If you're moving from a double helix human to a triple helix, something else, and you did so because you allowed yourself to be exposed to something that can potentially transform your DNA into non-human DNA, you've stepped out of the parameters of God's protection. And this is something that, as we enter the last days, and knowledge is increasing, that means technical knowledge at every level, we want to be educated and informed and have knowledge so that we can be proactive on every level. On every level, we want to have knowledge so we can be proactive, because knowledge is power. And instead of just taking the mainstream media's word for something, or, you know, just accepting the propaganda at face value, one of the things that I've stressed on this program for years is how important it is, especially for God's people, to learn how to think, to learn how to use your brain, to learn how to activate the mind of Christ, to access the wisdom of God, and not go around in a fog, not allow somebody to indoctrinate you or put you in a hypnotic state or implement subtle forms of mind control over you. God created you to think for yourself. God created you to use the mind and the brain he gave you. And so if you want to please God, if you want to be the person that God is creating you to be, if you want to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. An essential part of that, an essential part of that is learning how to think for yourself, learning how to think outside of some pre-programmed box, learning how to use the full spectrum of intelligence that God has already downloaded into you, and access by faith the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. And you can do that, but you have to make a choice to do it. And in addition to that, there are things that you need to do in your life that will prepare you to activate the mind of Christ in you. There are things that you can do to prepare your mind and your brain and your consciousness to operate on the highest levels that God created it to operate at. God does not create dummies. Totalitarian regimes create dummies because dummies make good slaves. Dummies don't question authority. But God didn't create the human race in his own image to be enslaved and to be dummies. This is a critical, critical thing. And Christians, quite frankly, have been in, especially evangelical Christians in America, they have been in rebellion from this biblical principle as far back as I can remember and before. They have been in rebellion against God and his word over the issue of knowledge and truth and using the mind of Christ and studying and acquiring knowledge and reading books and reading the Bible. The Christian church has been at war with God and in rebellion from God like little children. And instead of accepting and hungering after wisdom and guidance and knowledge, God's people are actively resisting God and basically looking God in the face and saying, no, I won't allow you to give me wisdom so that I might have power. It's a very strange thing. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. People are listening to this program all over planet Earth, all over the United States, because people like you choose to spread our links and our messages far and wide. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there are people in powerful places that do not want this kind of message to move freely into the minds of hearts of people all over the world, because that would interfere with their plans to enslave mankind. And that's the whole purpose of depriving people of knowledge. The purpose of depriving people of knowledge is to enslave those people for the benefit of a globalist elite. And that is not something that God is pleased with. In fact, when you read prophecy, when you read the book of Revelation, you see repeatedly in the book of Revelation passages about how the great and mighty, the leaders of this world, the wealthiest people in this world, are going to hide in the rocks in a vain attempt to hide themselves from the wrath of the Lamb. That means that we are coming to a point in history where Jesus Christ, is the Lamb of God, is about ready to return to planet Earth and to defeat his enemies at the Battle of Armageddon. And when Christ returns to planet Earth, the wealthy, the elite, the powerful, and all those that have made a pact with the devil, they know that they've sinned against God. So they're gonna attempt to hide deep under the rocks in an effort to hide themselves from the judgment of God or the wrath of the Lamb. Now, what's interesting about that is I open that all up, what it really means in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America and Conquering the Matrix. And for the last 75 years at least, governments around the world, including our own government, have created and dug out massive underground bases, underground cities, underground laboratories. We've built them all over the United States of America. In fact, in my book, I give a whole list of like 21 of the biggest of these giant underground bases. And they're designed to withstand nuclear blasts and biological warfare and all kinds of stuff. And they're built into the rocks. And I list them for you. And you have one in Colorado Springs, built right into the rocks, and others built into the rocks, built into caves in the rocks. And they've spent trillions of dollars on these underground cities, underground bunkers. There's supposed to be, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if there was, a massive underground bunker city underneath the Denver International Airport. And I write about that in my book. And that may be one of the biggest underground cities, one under the Denver International Airport. And what's interesting is that I knew of the existence of these giant underground bases and cities where the elite in the military, the elite in wealth and finance would live hidden in the rocks and underground caves in the rocks. And then you read that scripture verse in the book of Revelation, and that's exactly what the book of Revelation says, that the elite and the wealthy are going to hide themselves in the rocks from the wrath or the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when Jesus Christ returns, he's coming to judge and pour out his wrath and judgment during the tribulation period. That's why the elite are hiding. They know they're going to be held accountable for their evil. In the book of Revelation, it talks about, depending upon your particular viewpoint on eschatology or Bible prophecy, there are many positions. And I teach on that in detail, by the way, in the archives of the Paul McGuire report and at the Paradise Mountain teachings I have given that are on our Roku channel. You get to all of those at paulmcguire.us. Okay, so in Revelation chapter 6, starting at verse 12, he looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Okay, so this takes place within the seven-year tribulation period. Whether this precise event happens 3.5 years into it, or immediately after the rapture, you can choose by going over the Word of God yourself. And discover the position that matches up to the Word of God, not your favorite prophecy teacher, but whatever matches up to the Word of God. So clearly, there's judgment coming here from God. Jesus Christ is returning. And then it says right here that the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." So they know they're going to be judged. And so I believe, without question, that this act of hiding themselves in the rocks or the caverns of the rocks, this represents the deep underground military bases, the deep underground fortresses that militaries all over the world, not just the U.S., have spent trillions of dollars on. And they're going to attempt to use this as a protection for themselves. And they want to hide themselves from being judged by the wrath of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, at the second coming. Why? Because they're not on the right side of God. They didn't repent when they had a chance. They didn't invite Christ to come into their hearts when they had a chance. They never repented over their sins. And then you have, in Revelation also, and one of the signs of the times that's happening all around us, is the fact that this predicted new world order that's written about in the book of Revelation, it's written about in the account of ancient Babylon in the Bible, the new world order, which is the one world government, the one world religion, and one world economic system, also known as Mystery Babylon, they're fornicating with the great harlot of this global, satanic, economic, spiritual, governmental system. And the Antichrist is their god. And the Antichrist is going to set himself up in the rebuilt temple of God, demanding to be worshipped as God. And with the help of the false prophet, the false prophet's in charge of a one world economic system and one world religious system. And false prophet is going to perform false signs and wonders to get all the people of the earth to worship the Antichrist as God, but also to take the mark of the beast, biochip or nanochip implant. And that opportunity is not a good opportunity, because the Bible says anybody who takes the mark of the beast is going to be locked out of going to heaven. You're going to be eternally damned if you accept the mark of the beast. You will not be allowed in heaven. Your name will be blotted out of the book of life. So we need to pay attention. We are in prophetic times. And the reason that the signs of the times are so intense is because the purpose of the signs of the times is to wake us up and to wake up all the sleeping evangelicals who are, it's like they're drugged, and they're like in a daze. You know, I read to you earlier and made commentary to you earlier about dangers that can happen to us in this futuristic society we live in. And you have choices you're going to make. I have choices I'm going to make. And you need to be aware of the facts from credible sources, not non-credible sources. And that means you heard from God's own word what God's principles are regarding God's DNA and reproducing after its kind, and how God's law applies to that. And you recognize when you read that, that salvation is only available to human beings. Okay? That's a law of God. So if you do something which contaminates your DNA and changes you from a human status to non-human, there's a very serious potential that you need to look at it from the Word of God regarding the status of your salvation. Because there's a warning there. And even if you just take the warning on face value about, you know, don't take the mark of the beast, that should be a good enough warning to God's people. But if you are taking a technology and you're basing all your trust on people who are lying to you, they're telling you, they're saying, oh no, this is not going to alter your DNA. You have nothing to worry about. Okay, great. You're putting your trust in some person who's lying. And what if they're wrong? Because you need to do your homework and read the reports and opinions of medical doctors on both sides of the issue, not just one side. Because you want to guard, you want to protect your DNA for a ton of reasons. So God wants his people to be wiser than they've ever been before. This epidemic of stupidity, and that's the epidemic of stupidity and foolishness and blindness, has gone viral in the evangelical community for decades. God help and God have mercy on all those Christians who go to evangelical churches where they never teach Bible prophecy. That's 87% of evangelical churches never teach Bible prophecy. Their people have no clue whatsoever about what's happening now and what's coming to planet Earth in the near future. They're completely unprepared. And God does not want you completely unprepared. He wants to help you. Now, my books go into detail on many of these subjects, and you need to get them and spread them around. And you can do that by going to paulmcguire.us, paulmcguire.us. Get a bundle and get a discount. Get yourself a copy of The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World and Conquering the Matrix. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in a minute. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. In my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I expose many of the things that are happening right now, and I explain by researching past history and learning from the lessons of past history. I explain to you, the reader, what is happening in the present and what is going to happen next based on the facts of what has happened in our past. Because the whole principle is, if we learn from past history, we can avoid totalitarianism and tragic mistakes. Okay. Let's talk about a big tragic mistake. Epidemic in the Christian culture. Which is repeating the same old historical mistake over and over again. The Christian culture has an addiction to running away from reality and running into the land of the make-believe, hiding from reality and hiding in the world of fantasy instead of learning the historical lesson. So things didn't turn out the way many Christians wanted things to turn out during the election. This has happened before to Christians in the United States in our recent history. And the reaction that I'm hearing now is the same reaction I've heard in regular historical cycles going back 10, 20, 30 years. And that is, whenever the Christian community starts to behave responsibly and exercise its responsibility in the areas of voting and civic involvement, etc. But if they lose, what they do historically, what they've done in the past, is they run and hide from reality, and they go into escapism. And this is the way escapism played out in the past, and this is the way escapism is playing out right now. It's the same as it played out in the past. So what happens is it's like little kids. Evangelical Christians are like little kids. And the little kids get upset, and they're playing in the sandbox, and a bully comes into the sandbox, and the kids get upset and pick up their toys and run home, never to be seen again, because things got a little rough for them in the sandbox. That's the evangelical church in America. It does this like in a cyclical pattern for every 10, 15, 20 years. We have done this before. So things didn't turn out the way Christians wanted it to in the election. Instead of taking responsibility for that, which is the appropriate biblical response, they take no responsibility for it. And then they jump into escapism. So what you hear is make-believe righteousness, make-believe holiness, make-believe spirituality, or counterfeit spirituality. So now we have all this talk about revival, and I've talked about revival a lot, but I talk about revival from a completely different perspective than the way most people talk about revival. So the mantra among Christians is, oh, we shouldn't have got involved in politics, and we lost. Now we're just going to go into our churches and our homes and hide for another 15, 20 years and seek God for revival, cry out to God for revival. Only revival can save us. And it all sounds so spiritual. It all sounds so holy, except for the fact that at its core, it's rotten. It's rotten to the core because it's dishonest. All it is seeking an excuse to go back to the sins you were committing, such as apathy, being slothful, being lazy, and being non-involved. Instead of repenting over those sins and then fixing the problems, you gather together to seek a revival or a great awakening. Now, I'm going to speak very directly. Let's just start by defining what a great awakening is and what a great awakening isn't. A great awakening is not a New Age, mystical, non-biblical, non-intellectual, non-rational or logical experience or set of experiences happening in the evangelical community. In other words, the way most Christians talk about a great awakening, they talk about it like they've never read the Bible. They talk about it in terms of religious escapism, fantasy, and mysticism. It's all about Holy Ghost experiences. And if God really is giving us revival, then we're going to have, quote, all these Holy Ghost experiences. And it will be the Holy Ghost experiences that authenticate whether or not we're really having a great awakening. So the teaching, which is not biblical, goes like this. We're going to cry out to God, we're going to repent to God, we're going to fast to God, and God's going to pour out a great awakening and a great revival, an end times revival on our nation, America, and the church. But it will be non-rational, it'll be mystical, and it'll totally prioritize experience and reject sound doctrine and reject logic and rational minds. And that's what we have going on now. And the root of it is cowardice. I'm afraid to tackle the real giant, so I'll create an imaginary giant that I can slay, and maybe I can fool myself and fool the people into thinking I'm doing something heroic for God, when in reality, I'm just faking it like crazy. Great awakening, what does it mean? You never hear this being taught by Christians. And because you never hear it being taught by Christians, what you do hear being taught by Christians is false doctrine, great awakening. And this is how false doctrine, great awakening plays out. A true biblical great awakening, like the one that we had in America with Jonathan Edwards, the first great awakening in America, the biblically solid Pilgrims and Puritans, the intellectually trained Pilgrims and Puritans, the great lovers and students of the Bible, the Pilgrims and Puritans. God used them because they possessed those attributes to ignite a first great awakening in America. The Pilgrims and Puritans didn't birth a New Age, Eastern mystical, false doctrine great awakening. They understood that a great awakening implied being fully awake in your mind, your intellect, your rational being, in the sphere of knowledge, in the understanding of history. You have to be fully awake in the mind department. You can't be fully asleep in the mind department and the knowledge department and expect to have a valid great awakening. It doesn't happen. You'll have a valid great deception. You'll have a valid great something. What you'll have is a valid great apostasy. Because you can't have a great awakening when you choose to put your mind, your intellect, your knowledge, your learning, your study of the Bible into the sleep mode. A great awakening implies that you are awakened in the intellect, in the area of knowledge, that you're awake in the area of historical knowledge and biblical knowledge. Great awakening means you're awake in all areas of your humanity. You're awake in the area of your intellect, your knowledge of history, etc., etc. And then, in addition to being awake in your mind and your brain, you're awake in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the authentic, genuine power of the Holy Spirit, which produces the genuine fruits of the Spirit. And so holiness and righteousness and miracles start to happen. And the release of the spiritual power, the dunamis power of God, power from on high. Okay, so what we have now is people beating the drums like some following some shaman in a remote village somewhere after taking mushrooms and beating on their drums, hoping to whip themselves up into an experience which is a counterfeit of the Great Awakening. So what they're looking for is a fake Great Awakening to cover their sins. A fake Great Awakening which will only invite the demonic powers. It'll open the door for the demonic powers to destroy the church in America, because we're at the crossroads. Right now, We're at the epicenter of the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world, as I outlined in the book, my book. For the Christian church to go back, you know, hiding under, and faking it under the guise, under the pretense that this is a great awakening, that is falsehood. That is, you're guilty in your heart. You've allowed yourself to be corrupted. That kind of great awakening is not a great awakening. That's a lie. It's great apostasy. Once again, solid biblical teaching demands that we understand that when God sends a great awakening, that means we are greatly awakened in our brain, mind, intellect, knowledge of history, knowledge of the Bible, and knowledge of what's actually going on in our nation. Like, who runs America? You can't have a great awakening when the majority of Christians are sound asleep to who actually rules America. You're just playing. You're just a little kid with a tricycle. And that's all you will be until you mature in Christ. So, we cannot have a great awakening unless we have a great awakening in the mind, in the intellect, in the area of biblical knowledge and biblical study. It's only after we have committed ourselves to that, like the Pilgrims and Puritans did, that God can entrust us with an outpouring of the raw power of His Holy Spirit, miraculous. But what we've seen is cycle after cycle of counterfeit revival and apostate teaching, which only puts the children of God back asleep and makes them passive and indifferent to the fact that they're being invaded. So we need to guard ourselves against the prospect of a fake Great Awakening. And we have to teach and educate people how to define and recognize the Great Awakening. Because you see, if we even knew our recent past, we have gone through cycles of this before. The church didn't like it when there were certain very liberal presidents that got elected in the last 35 to 40 years. So each time we had all these people making prophecies about how the president, the liberal president Clinton, would have a personal revival, and this would cause a national revival. Well, that was a false prophecy because it never happened. And then we had all this QAnon stuff with this mysterious plan that was going to happen. It didn't happen. It was an act of deception. And now people want to hide. Instead of accepting responsibility for following false teaching, etc., they want to hide in the embrace of Great Awakening. The only place to hide is in the embrace of God's truth and the truth of God's word. And we must obey God, come to God, and we must allow God to awaken us. And that means we need to accept responsibility and come to terms with things like who really rules America? Who really rules the world? What's really happening with the pandemic? What's the dark plan that is being allowed to move forward under the guise of the pandemic? See, that's called facing up to reality. That's called being mature and manning up or womaning up or whatever you want to call it. And that's how you find freedom. Pilgrims and Puritans found freedom because their theology was rock solid. Pilgrims and Puritans actually bothered to study history and philosophy and mathematics and physics and religion. They weren't like today's evangelical Christians who know nothing about nothing. And the choice for you, me, our children and grandchildren, should the Lord tarry, we as a people are either going to choose to walk down the right road or the wrong road. May God have mercy on us if we walk down the wrong road, because this time the wrong road is a beast. It's a Frankenstein, and the beast comes with a mark. And once you take this mark, there's no going back. It's time to quit, you know, kiddie games. And it's time to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfill our destiny. And you can, and we can do that. But you gotta say, okay, God, I'm going to do it. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to do it. I'm going to step forward into a future under your lordship. And I am making myself available to you, Lord, to be used by you to change our nation and to change the world.